Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
About the life of a warrior. Hey, man, that's a good name for a conference. The life of a warrior. And I'm pretty sure you all have been talking about what a warrior is. A warrior is someone who is engaged in warfare or who is experienced in warfare. That's what a warrior is. And you have to understand that the enemy works behind the scenes. He works behind the scenes. So he may not always come right out to you, but sometimes he will. But he's working behind the scenes. So when somebody comes at you, doing you wrong, talking to you wrong, don't always go right back at them. Look behind the scenes, okay? Because the enemy works behind the scenes. Let me give you an example. Can I get, let me get Minister Che and Minister Marcel right quick, okay? Let me show you how the enemy works. And then we're going to get more into the message. All right. Minister Marcel, you're going to be Peter, okay? Minister Che, you're going to act like the devil today. We know you ain't the devil, but you're going to act like the devil today. So Jesus was about to go fulfill his purpose. He was going to go to Jerusalem and die. And what happened was the devil started whispering to Peter, starts tapping him on the back. And so Peter tells Jesus, no, you're not going to do that. And when Jesus turns, who he rebukes is, he says, get behind me, Satan. You see, the enemy works behind the scenes. And so when you deal with the enemy, you got to look beyond what's in the natural. You got to look behind the scenes. Thank you all. You all can sit down. So when it comes to being a warrior, look behind the scenes. See what the enemy's doing. I had a situation. The enemy tried to come to me, and I was in the store. And this woman walked up to me, and I couldn't tell what she was saying. And she was saying something. I kept asking her, can you repeat that? And she said something about voodoo. I said, I'm a Christian. And she said I'm a black Jew or something. And then I can destroy you or something like this. And so then I snapped in the spirit because I'm like, okay, I don't want to cast out this demon in the store, but if I got to do it, I got to do it, okay? So I snapped in the spirit, and I looked at her, and she took off, okay? So, but you got to understand that the enemy will try to play games with your mind. So what I did was when I got home, because I didn't want the enemy to have this seed in me and to be watering it and for me to be thinking, oh, you know, something's going on, I called Pastor Marquise. I called Marquise. I said, man, this lady, man, she walked up to me in the store, man, and she was talking about this stuff. And he said, man, you know, people been talking about they black Jews or something. And he said, man, let's pray. So we prayed the thing. Because you know, this cross can get heavy sometimes. Even Jesus needed help carrying his cross. And so we need to help each other. We need to support each other in prayer. We need to have each other's back and do what we can to be a blessing to each other. So you guys been dealing with the life of a warrior. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is if you're going to be a warrior, you got to have power. You got to have power. And the power is in God's presence. If you have your Bible, please turn to the book of Habakkuk, the third chapter. And I'll begin reading at the first verse. Habakkuk, the third chapter. I'll begin reading at the first verse. This is what it says. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigonoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God comes from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, and the earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power. Before him goes pestilence, and plague comes after him. Thank you. He stood and surveyed the earth. He looked and startled the nations. Yes, the perpetual mountains were shattered. The ancient hills collapsed. His ways are everlasting. We're going to talk about the power that's in his presence. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for allowing us to be here together tonight. Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you will use me to say what it is you want to say to your children in this place tonight. Father God, I pray that we will be empowered, Lord God, that we will be encouraged, Father God, and that we will know, Father God, that your power is in our lives, Father God, and we have access to rebuke and bind and loose, Father God, whatever it is you have called us to do. Lord God, I thank you for doing these things, and I give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Power is something that a lot of people want, but they don't want to do what it takes to get it. You know, they're the kind of people who act like they got all the answers and know everything, but when it comes to getting the job done, they don't want to lift a finger. Some folks lie for power. Some folks cheat for power. Some folks steal for power. But I came today to tell you that real power is in God's presence. You see, Habakkuk realized this, and the reality of this was so clear to him that he said, I have heard the report and I fear. I came today to give you a report that God is mighty, that God is able, that God is on the throne, and no matter what you face, he's able to take care of. God is able. He said, I have heard the report about you and I fear. Let me just talk to you a moment about fearing God. It's important to fear God. Isaiah realized this and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. In other words, I'm going to die because I saw the Lord. The children of Israel realized that they needed to fear God. And they said, if we hear the voice of Jehovah our God anymore, then we shall die. The apostle Paul realized that he needed to fear the Lord. And he's on the way to Damascus when the Lord struck him and he was blinded by the glory of God for 3 days. You see, the fear of the Lord is important. And if you want to have access to God's presence and his power, you must fear him. You must fear him. The Lord is to be feared. In fact, the proverbial writer said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Later in the book, he said, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So in order to be wise, you first have to fear God. You haven't even started having wisdom if you don't fear God. You first got to fear the Lord if you want to have wisdom. And it's important to fear the Lord, because when we fear God, we respect what he says. And when we respect what he says, we do what he tells us to do. But if we don't fear him, we'll do what we want to do. And that was the problem in Israel during the time of Judges, because every man did what was right in his own eyes. Kind of like America today. Men marrying men, women marrying women, legalized marijuana, alcohol in the drugstores, everybody doing what they think is right in their own eyes. And it only leads to a lot of problems. Understand this, that if you fear God, there are a number of things that will happen. One of the things that will happen is God will direct your paths. God will direct your paths. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each man, before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. There's a path that seems right, but it ends in death. I told this story this morning about a time when me and a buddy were going to a party, and it was on the other side of town. And we went there, and it didn't look like anybody was hardly there. We didn't know if we were at the wrong place or what. So we left. And later we found out that some guys we knew got jumped at that party. And one of the guys, I think, is a vegetable till this day. Now, if we would have been there, one of us, our lives could have ended in death. But God preserved me, and I'm thankful. We ought to fear the Lord. So you see, when you fear God, he gives you wisdom. And just because something looks good doesn't mean that it's the way to go. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. You see, Lot looked at the fertile plains of the Jordan, and he thought they looked good when him and Abraham were about to separate. But when he went there, what happened was the people were evil. They were wicked people. And if it had not been for the prayers of Abraham, Lot would have died with him. But Abraham interceded and God saved him. So just because it seems like it looks good, just because that looks like that's a fertile place, just because it looks like good things are happening over there, doesn't mean that's where you're supposed to go. Because God knows which direction is best for you. And if you fear him and you have his wisdom, he'll preserve your life. If you study long, make sure you don't study wrong. Because Lot, it says he took a long look at the fertile plains, but he was studying wrong. Make sure you're studying God's word, because God's word is right. Amen. I remember a time when I had a coworker, and the coworker, he was a young guy. He used to play around a lot. He would do silly stuff like squirting people with a water bottle and stuff like that. And so he kind of used to get on my nerves. And I kind of wanted to punk him a little bit, you know, just get him in a corner and just let him know, you know, that I'm that I can deal with him. But I didn't do that. And time went by, and eventually I got to witness to him. I asked him if he wanted to accept the Lord, and he said he wanted to accept the Lord. Now, if I would have just tried to handle the situation the way I wanted to, this brother may have never accepted the Lord. But I was patient. I was kind. I was long-suffering. I was gentle. And God moved in the situation and saved the brother's soul. And so I want you to know that if you fear God, if you do what he tells you to do, you'll be blessed. There's five things I want you to know that happen when you fear God. Five things. The first is you'll be blessed. Psalms 128 and verse 1 says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways." If you want to be blessed, then fear God. The next thing I want you to know that you should do, if you fear God, the next thing that'll happen, I want you to know, is God will lengthen your life. He'll lengthen your life. Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." You see, when you fear God, he will lengthen your life. You'll have a long, good life. You'll be blessed because you fear him. The next thing I want you to know that happens when you fear God is the angel of the Lord will encamp around you. Psalm 34 verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." So what it means to encamp is it means to camp around. And it says, "And he delivers them." As a warrior, sometimes you might go into a battle and it might be too much for you to handle, but the angel of the Lord will deliver you. That means he'll save you. We can see an example of this in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 16, where the king of Aram sent his army to get Elisha. And Elisha's servant woke up, and he saw the army, and he was scared, and he asked Elisha what they should do. And Elisha told him that there are more for us than there are against us. And he prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, and when his eyes were open, he seen horses and chariots of fire all over the mountain. I came to tell you tonight that when you fear God, there are always more for you than there are against you. The next thing I want you to know that happens when you fear the Lord is you will avoid evil. When you fear God, you will avoid evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil." So God is going to help you to avoid evil, because it might look good. It might look like that's the way for you to prosper. That's the way for you to go. That's the job for you to take. That's the church for you to go to. But God has a plan. And if you fear him, he'll reveal his plan to you, and you will be blessed and you will avoid evil. Habakkuk said, "I have heard the report about you, and I fear." You see, if you want access to the presence of God, you must first fear him. Now, when it talks about fear here, it's not talking about you're afraid to go by God. What it's talking about is you will have deep respect for God, like you should for a parent. Now, if your dad tells you, "Son, go over there and do that for me," or "Daughter, go over there and do that for me," you're not going to say, "I'm not doing that," and just walk away, because your dad might hit you upside the head, right? So that's what it's talking about. You got to have a deep respect for God. You got to respect God more than your dad, more than your mom, more than anybody. You have to have a deep respect for God. Now, Habakkuk 3:2, it goes on and it says, "Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. in the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. So what Habakkuk was basically saying here is, I heard about what you did, and God, I want you to do it again. And even though we're under wrath, remember your mercy. Some of you in here, you've been hearing about what God has done. You heard about how he healed Chamian's mom. You heard about how he's delivered people. And I want you to know that God can do it again. What he did in the Bible, he can do again. All you have to do is receive him. All you have to do is respect him. All you have to do is have a deep respect for him. And you'll have access to his presence and his power. He said, in wrath, remember mercy. Have you ever needed mercy? Mercy is what we need if we want to stand justified in God's presence. Luke chapter 7 tells the story of two men. One had a great debt and one had a small debt. And the Lord asked, which of them will love more? And the answer is the one who was forgiven most. And the mercy of God is amazing because whether you owe a lot or you owe a little, he forgives. And people sometimes have their limits, but God's mercy endures forever. Now, if I let you borrow $10 and you don't pay me back, I might not make a big deal out of it. But if I let you borrow $10,000 and you don't have my money, then we might have to go and handle the situation somewhere. Amen? So what you have to understand is that, but God's not like that. You see, whether it's a little or a lot, his mercy will cover it. And the Bible lets us know that David said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, the Hebrew word here is the word chesed, which means mercy, goodness, faithfulness, loving kindness. So this is why when you read your Bible, one might say mercy, another might say loving kindness, another might say love, another might say goodness or faithfulness, because the word incorporates all that. And this is why you have to value the mercy of God. Because when God extends his mercy to you, he extends his love, he extends his kindness, he extends his faithfulness, he extends his gentleness, he extends to you all that you need to be justified in his presence. When the devil comes before God and says, I got him on video, I was there when he did it, God extends his mercy. When the devil comes before God and says, here's the evidence, God throws the evidence out. When the devil comes before God and says, he's not good enough, God's mercy covers you. I tell you, it's a great thing to have the mercy of God. And Habakkuk realized that he needed God's mercy. Have you ever received mercy? I remember one day I was driving my car and the police officer pulled me over. And to lighten the situation, I just kind of yelled out the window. I was like, the speed limit's 35, right? And he said, nope, it's 30. And so he came up to the car and he said, but if you have your license, your registration, and your insurance, I'll let you go. So I found the first two right away. But the third one, it was taking me a little while to find it. And so, but I eventually found it and I showed it all to him. And he said, a deal is a deal. And I came to tell you that God will always hold up his part of the deal. All you got to do is do what God says, and God will always do what he said he'll do. A deal is a deal. So when God shows you mercy, you ought to have an attitude of gratitude. You ought to give God thanks. Can we just take a moment and do what the psalmist said? He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Habakkuk went on and said in the third verse, he said, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah, it says. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. So what he was basically here saying was Teman was like the southern part of the area that God came from the south. It says the Holy One from Mount Paran, that was the Sinai region where Moses seen God. He said his glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. Deuteronomy 33:2 says, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. So that's what Habakkuk was basically saying, that God came from the south. Verse 4, he goes on and says, his radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand. His radiance is like the sunlight. Now, Malachi says something similar in the book of Malachi, the 4th chapter. He said, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And I wonder why. Why does the scripture spell sun, S-U-N? And the reason why it spells sun, S-U-N, is because that's the most brilliant thing we know here in the earth. And so God was letting us know that the brilliance of his sun was going to be so great that it was going to be like the sunrise. And it says he will rise with healing in his wings. Now, I brought something here. I brought a prayer shawl. And this prayer shawl here, on the corners, you'll notice that there's like some blue knots. And if you remember, there was a story in the Bible where a woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was a woman with the issue of blood. And she had had this issue for 12 years. But she has said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And it says the sun will rise with healing in his wings. And you see, the thing is that what they call these corners is they call these wings. You see, here it has some scriptures. Right here it has the very scripture I just read. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Actually, looks like that's a different scripture than the one I read, actually. Let me look at this side. Here we go. Malachi 4:2, it says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So what she did was she had touched this part. She touched the wing. And when she touched it, she was instantly made whole. And what I came to tell you today is that if you will reach out by faith and touch the hem of his garment, you can be made whole. Through prayer, by faith, God can make you whole today. She touched the hem of his garment. And it says, and what happens is when we do this, it lets us know that we will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. And she went free, made whole. It goes on, it says, rays flashed from his hand. Rays flashed from his hand. Notice it does not say that they flashed from his hands. It says that they flashed from his hand. It is important to understand that God has more power in one hand than all the politicians in the world combined. God has more power in one hand than all the weapons of every military in the world combined. God has more power in one hand than a Category 5 hurricane, a tornado, a typhoon, a tsunami. God has more power in one hand than our minds can fathom. God has all power in his hand. Peter realized this and he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. He realized that God's hand was mighty. Moses realized this and he said, oh, Lord, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? God has power in his hand. And then Habakkuk went on and said this. He said, and there is the hiding of his power. There is the hiding of his power. And if your life is in God's hands, you have access to his power. When Moses asked to see the glory of God, God told him to go on the cliff of the rock, and he said, I will cover you with my hand. And today, the rock is Jesus. And if you are in the rock, if you're in Christ, God's hand is covering you. And since his hand is covering you, you have access to his power. Do you know how power gets to your house? It starts at the dam where the water is. They use the water to generate power. And in the Bible, water represents the Holy Spirit. Then it's carried through the electric lines. And the line that we have is prayer. Prayer is the vehicle by which we can go into eternity and bring what is in eternity into time. Prayer is the way that we can tap into divine intelligence. Prayer is the line that the power is carried through. Then when the power gets to your neighborhood, it goes to a transformer on the telephone pole because it has to be turned down. It has to be stepped down. Amen. It has to be stepped down. And the Bible says after it goes to the transformer, and the Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then the power goes to the electric box. And the electric box can represent the heart. And the psalmist said, but how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, once the power gets to the box, then all you have to do is use it. All you have to do is use the power. I had a situation at work where I had this coworker, and it was very unique that the day I was doing his work, he seen me when he was on the way to the hospital. And he was going to the hospital because he was having back pain. And so he had pulled over, and he said something to me while I was doing his work. So some days later, I found out that when he went to the hospital that day, he found out he had cancer. And they said it was like stage 4. And I think they gave him maybe like 6 weeks to live. And so after hearing this news, I decided that I need to pray for this brother. So I told the brother, I said, come in the locker room. And I went and I prayed for him. And he had tears in his eyes. And he was telling me about just the different emotions that he was going through and things of that sort. And then I didn't see him for a while. So I went back to work. It was the day I started full-time. I had been part-time, and then I started full-time. I went back to work, and the day I started full-time, he was in the other side of the building, and he motioned to me to come where he was. And I went over there, and he said, I just want to tell you thank you. I said, what? He said, the doctor said I'm cancer-free. He said, I don't have cancer anymore. I'm telling you that God's power is in your life. Now all you have to do is use it. God didn't just give you his power so that you can just walk around saying that I got the power, acting like you're better than somebody, looking down on folk. God wants you to use that power to be a blessing. He wants you to use that power to bring him glory. So as a warrior, if you want to make sure that you win every battle that you face, make sure that you experience the power that is found only in his presence. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.